You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
The world will know you as pop stars. But you will be much more than that. You will be hunters.
Hey, this is the men's bathhouse. Get out of here.
They're stealing the souls of our fans? Let's send those disgusting demons back to the depths where they belong!
Yeah!
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 Yeah! Yeah!
Let's get battle ready.
I can destroy the hunters for good.
You're all I can think of. Every drop I drink of. You're my soda pop, my little soda pop.
The demon boy band? They're coming after the fans.
The Sasha boy!
Let's go get these guys. You think we're just gonna let you steal our fans? You're gonna have to fight us for them.
Yeah, this plane's trashed.
Everything is at stake.
And welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. While we're getting on to this Tuesday night, going down the good old road of something Netflix-y related. Hello. Yes. Hello.
And we're going down.
Annyeonghaseyo.
And we're going down.
What?
Dion, why aren't you singing?
I don't understand the concept. What the fuck is happening? This is not a regular occurrence. Hi, my name is Dion. I'm joined tonight by Quinny, and I'm joined by Jill, and I'm joined by Beckpop. Hello. Hey, Beckpop, it's been a while. Thanks for joining us with this one because, yeah, for your viewing pleasure, you're helping us talk about K-pop.
I am. A cultural phenomenon has been on repeat in my household for the last month, so I'm thrilled nice. To talk about it on the internet.
A month?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are late to this party.
I am. Like, I'm 100% late to this party only because, yeah, sorry. Quinny,
No. I was going to say, I actually talked about it, I don't know, the weekend it came out. Mm-hmm. I watched it because I had nothing else on. I was sitting on the couch and I was like, that looks entertaining. I will just put that on in the background and was then kind of like, this is fucking cool. Mm. And then went in the next episode, I'm like, Jill, you gotta check it out. You gotta check it out. And she's like,
leave me alone, otherwise I won't watch it.
Yeah.
Don't
and then
tell
the next
me
time
what
I was like,
do.
Jill, yeah. Jill. Penny. And she's like, leave me alone.
It's the Aries. Yeah. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Can I just say though? Despite being one of the longest bloody trailers in the world, I am so impressed by how little it manages to give away. And I wonder if we can manage to give away a similar level of not spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. We also do a spoilery bit after we've done the thing.
I remember how this works.
Okay.
I also remember that we often suck at not giving too many spoilers in the pre-spoiler bit.
This is a good point, well made.
Okay, so, we're going to be as vague as possible.
Yeah. So how did you all come to it? Did you just find it on Netflix? Did somebody recommend it to you? I know.
Yeah, somebody annoyed me to watch it.
Yeah.
No, Quinny made me watch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he tape your eyelids open and strap you to the chair?
It's 100% Clockwork Orange me for this.
Yep. And but, I'm not sad. But I've got this. I'm not embarrassed about that.
I've got this weird sort of tick now that I have to keep kind of doing this, and I feel like I need to do choreographed dances every now and again. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know anything about.
See, I don't think we were fully aware that Beck was as into this as not as until like you posted a video to us and you're like, look at this.
I can do the dance.
I'm like, oh okay. I mean,
you know, if we're gonna talk about stuff that like quite blatantly I have absolutely no fucking idea what's going on, we might as well open the floor up to people who do know what the fuck is going on.
But have you watched it, Dion?
Yes, I watched it from the start to the last song.
How the fuck do you still have no idea what is going on then?
Have you seen the film?
Yes. It's a very cromulent storyline.
No one knows what's going on. They're just doing things on screen and singing songs and going, this is good, yeah? And you're watching it going,
yeah, pop music is a fine concept to Dion.
Okay. Yeah. Dion should never go and see a musical is what we're hearing. No. This isn't even musical level storytelling.
No, this isn't
far off though.
This isn't musical level storytelling. And I watched it and I'm not saying like things are bad or weird or out of my comfort zone. It's just, it's not really for me.
Okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah. You're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. he often is.
Also, I will point out that Dion had a very, very long bad day by the time that this came onto his screen. And I kind of get the feeling that it was like, ugh. Is that a reasonably accurate description, Dion?
Look, you know, I am able to separate church and state here. I can understand the value of something, even though my personal opinions may have colored it slightly. That being said, I still don't really know what's going on in K-pop.
Would you like a synopsis?
let's have a synopsis.
I mean, sure. If you think I've got it, I wonder if I've got any music somewhere. Hang on a second.
Yep. Okay. K-pop. Hang on. What voice am I doing? Shit.
Nothing racist.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Somebody else better do it.
Oh, no.
Okay, K-pop Demon Hunters tells the story of a K-pop girl group called Huntrix, who are also demon hunters, tasked with protecting the world from demons for their king, Guaimar. They use their music to maintain a magical barrier called the Hon Moon and work towards strengthening it into the Golden Hon Moon, which would permanently banish demons from Earth. Their mission is complicated when a rival demon boy band, the Saja Boys, emerges, stealing their fans and weakening the Honmu. And they sing a bunch of cool songs. And they do some sick choreography. And then they do some fighting. And they're so pretty. And oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Oh dear.
I've heard from a lot of people, and Casper's actually mentioned having a similar experience in the chat, that in this day and age of TikToking, and if you're my age, Instagram reeling a week after it's appeared on TikTok, we basically have a huge collection of people who've basically seen half the movie through reels or TikToks, and then go, okay, I may as well go and watch this movie now. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of people have had that experience. When Quinny mentioned it, I then was like, let's watch the trailer for this, and was on board after watching the trailer. And my partner and I sat down and watched it over Friday night. We were amazed by the number of layers that this movie has that you do not get from the trailer. And I was on board just with what that surface level stuff was already.
Yeah. And that was the thing that surprised me. It was just the like from a trailer, like, or because I didn't even see a trailer. I just saw it pop up on Netflix as, you know, the little preview that starts playing. And I was like,
that's the trailer.
Well, but I didn't even watch the whole thing. Like, it was just sort of there in the background. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but fuck, it looks cool.
Did you just hit it like a fucking Poke Machine button? As soon as it popped up, you were like, in, let's do this.
Yeah. Sorry, Jill, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think at the time, Quinny, when you said, hey, Jill, have you watched K-pop Demon Hunters yet? I think my best friend had also watched it and had like posted a story about it. And all I heard all over Instagram was the main song from it, Golden. It was on everything. And not just like animated clips of the movie, but like just people's reels. They're using that song. Mm. And so I was like, oh no, this is the hype zone. Jill doesn't like being in the hype zone. Jill wants to avoid ever watching stuff that gets into the hype zone. I still have not watched Everything Everywhere All at Once because it got too hyped. So this was heading in that direction. And when Quinny, when you said to me, have you watched it yet? I was like, I'll get to it.
Like, interesting that you mentioned that, Jill, because there are theme crossovers.
Yeah, I'm like, don't push me. Yeah. But then I kept hearing the bloody music. I'm like, fuck, this is a catchy song. And then I think it got to like the following weekend and I'm like, I'm not going to talk to anybody about this, but I'm going to watch it. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Because I've seen so many people who like have watched it and then it's just become their whole personality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was on heavy rotation. Like the album, it became a hyperfixation for a week.
Wait, so can I get to get this one, like coming into this just a little bit blind, you know, from this whole stuff. So you're telling me that there are real people in the real world that saw the small part of this and it's become a hyperfixation, which is mirroring the fact that the fans of this band in the fake world have a hyperfixation problem.
So interestingly, the Soda Pop song by the Demon Boy Band for a very long time there took over the charts from the actual
Soju Boys.
K-pop boy band of the moment, BTS.
I love the Soju Boys. They're great.
Oh, I love some Soju.
Beck, how do you feel about this? Pineapple what? Soju
Boys.
I like the lemon one.
Delicious.
It's kind of funky, but it's good.
Yeah. I like the one with the six-pack.
But what's really interesting about the soundtrack to this as compared to a traditional musical is in a traditional musical, you've always got that one song that everyone skips or tunes out, goes to the bathroom during. It's usually the one that the token old man sings.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about it, it is.
It's the talk singing one.
The Jeff Goldblum number in Wicked. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sure. There are no low points in this soundtrack. And I think even the one song that when I was watching the movie for the first time, I was like, this is kind of my bathroom break song. When I went back and listened to the soundtrack through by itself, it was still a banger. I was still singing along. I was still fully on board. I was finding all the hidden messages in the lyrics. I don't think there is a dud on this soundtrack.
Nope. And as of 2 days ago, Golden went to literal number one on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking stupid.
Something that's really cool about the creatives behind this entire movie is that the movie has so many authentic South Korean cultural elements to it that it has become huge in South Korea as well. And many, many people there absolutely love it, which is so wonderful because there has been a lot of outcry in the past about South Korean culture being misrepresented. And this is a wonderful example of cultural appreciation rather than appropriation. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons behind that is that they have actually included many South Korean genuine K-pop stars and producers, writers, and the singing voice of the main individual from Huntrix. She was a K-pop star in training who went away to go to school and stopped K-pop training. And when she came back to try and be a K-pop star, they told her she was too old and couldn't do it anymore. So she became a writer and a producer of K-pop music instead, and now is singing on this and has gone to the top of the charts so incredibly hard. And I think that that lends this incredible authenticity to it, but also is kind of like a stuff you to the industry at the same time, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's a curious thing about the making of it, because actually, yes, I did. I watched the whole thing, and then I even watched through the credits where they showed all the behind the scenes bits of the people in there. And I thought that was really interesting. And then reading more about it and trying to find out more about it, I was like, oh, that's interesting that they have a bunch of Korean American actors doing the voice work, but then a bunch of South Korean singers doing the song work. And I was just a little bit like, okay. Like, why the need for the split? Like,
they're two different skill sets.
You don't find that many actors who can sing that fucking well. Like, who can sing to the level that is required of...
Yeah. The vocal range in Golden is outstanding. That is like three octaves of belting. That's... insanity.
I'm asking the question not because I'm attacking the show. I'm asking the question because I'm like, why did they have to get more? You know, why is it a whole bunch of different sort of people in there?
Dion, every Disney musical movie had a talking voice actress and a singing voice actress as well.
I'm pretty sure John Oliver did all the singing for his parts as Zazu, right?
Not all of them. I think
of course,
the
I
more
know.
Recent ones, like Moana, the
the more recent. I mean the classic ones. I mean the ones from the 90s when we were kids.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Yes. The travesty of casting Lea Salonga in this movie.
Yeah. And then giving her 30 seconds of background vocals to do. Lea Salonga was the singing voice of Jasmine and Mulan and is an incredible musical theatre actress and amazing singer and is in there as like the main mentor character for the Huntress girls and has no real singing. It's so background that I didn't even notice when it happened.
It's devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. like putting, I don't know, one of the, Mariah Carey is a background character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Mariah would never let that happen.
No, absolutely not. So what was it about it that sort of caught your eye immediately? Because I know what put me on the back foot straight away and made me go, that's different. But I'd love to know what you guys thought.
What was the question?
Yeah. So there's two parts in that. Which caught your eye and there was a bit that caught you on the back foot. Which one do you want to talk about?
Caught you, excited you, really grabbed you. What was the...
What put you on the front foot? What linked you into this show?
The music. I think, like, I enjoyed the odd K-pop. I'm not a diehard. I don't have a bias. I'm not like fully into the K-pop culture, but I do enjoy the music peripherally. And so I thought like the songs were so catchy. And then when I saw like some of the animated stuff, I'm like, oh, that's very reminiscent of the Spider-Verse animation. And then I realized it was a Sony thing. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this is probably going to be good.
Yeah. I think the thing that put me off was the title. Okay. What the hell is that title? K-pop Demon Hunters makes me think that this is trash. And it is trash, but the best kind of crack trash. It's amazing.
Okay, you know what it 100% tapped into for me was the female power story, but based in music. Like, I was one of those kids that was like, oh, yeah, I want to be in a girl band. Like, that was, like, one of my fantasy things when I was a child. But also, like, yeah, being a superhero too. And, like, Sailor Moon is so intrinsic for me. It really had those kind of vibes of, like, you know, magical girls that can save the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things I was like, oh, Jill, you would love it just for the magical girl factor. Yeah. Like the costume changes, that very Sailor Moon kind of vibe. Mm.
Mm. What's so interesting for me about the introduction, just the opening sequence, was that funky kind of intro music, the K-pop music that it starts with, reminds me a lot of earlier K-pop when I was into it. Some of my South Korean friends just roll their eyes at me because I think that my idea of K-pop is like someone these days being like, my favorite band is the Backstreet Boys. And you're just like, oh, sweetie. Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, you're shush now, grandma. Everything's fine. Because my favorites were like the Wonder Girls and, you know, quite early K-pop, I think, you know, compared to what's in today. But it's just so funky and fun. And the fact that it immediately started with the classic K-pop mixing of Korean lyrics in with English lyrics, and then the flip to rap in there as well, and the rap being in both Korean and English, it really grabbed me in that I was like, okay, this is actually K-pop. It's not just in the name. They are actually going with it. And I found it really interesting learning afterwards that the K-pop element was the last thing to be added into this storyline.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the last kind of piece of the puzzle when they were developing this movie, was creating it as a K-pop story.
Which is very strange, because I think the thing that made me sort of get on board a bit with it, like a bit more, was the fact that it was self-aware enough to understand some of the insanity behind mass market fandom. Not that anyone is immune to it. Like, it's all around when you go looking hard, and, you know, the West,
not that hard.
The West has borrowed from that world very heavily in the past, a la Spice Girls, et cetera, et cetera. Was the ability for it to just to be self-aware, take a bit of fun, have a bit of fun with it, and then continue on. Go like, yeah, we acknowledge that there is some weird shit that happens in that world, and we're just going to lean into it and understand that it's part of it, and then move forward with the rest of it. You know, apart from the fact that animation's great and the characters were somewhat likable.
There are two things that got me straight up. So, initially looking at it, I thought, oh, wow, this reminds me an awful lot of KDA. Which, you know, is the League of Legends K-pop group. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Thank you.
We're obviously kind of going to, yes, that's a thing, Dion.
Yeah, no, but like, you're saying things like KDA, and I'm like, wait, is it a three-letter acronym? Should I know what the fuck is going on here? Kill death, DA. Aggression? Right, okay. So just help me with this. It's a foreign territory.
A K-pop group that was done by the animation company that did League of Legends. So they've got a couple of songs that I actually have no idea how many songs they have out, but that, and I looked at that and I thought, okay, there's a touch point. But the thing that, and I had the same thing, K-pop Demon Hunters, what a stupid fucking name. But watching it, I got to about 5 minutes in, and the moment that they're on the plane and they allowed their characters to be ugly and to do stupid faces, and they're beautiful characters who are fully, you know, gorgeous and made up and everything, are burping and like eating ramen and fighting like fucking demons. But at the same time, they are very, very comedic. And I was like, oh shit, this is really kind of, as soon as I watched it, I was like, this is going to play to a female crowd so well, because it's not saying, look at these perfect, you know, pristine things. These are people who just want to have snacks and lie on the couch and, you know, relax and be fucking normal humans. But at the same time, they want to be super powerful, you know, warlocks that are protecting the world from demons and shit like that. Like, this is every little girl's fucking dream combined. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, like, women can be multifaceted. They're not just put into one box as one thing.
They can, but there's absolutely no way an actual K-pop band would be allowed to pig out on Jungkook.
Yeah, that's the
That's
thing.
not happening in the real life world, I'm sorry to say. That is,
No, but
I mean,
the
when we
dropping
think
in out of
about
a plane, sure.
suspension of disbelief there, Dion. Yeah, it carries through. It carries through. But I do think that it's interesting having that acknowledgement of, I mean, it's an issue, an underlying issue, I think, the treatment of pop stars. And this isn't just a problem in South Korea with K-pop or in Japan with J-pop, although it's a very similar kind of culture from my understanding, in their K-pop, J-pop machines that churn out these bands that are designed and kind of almost bred to create hype and money and all of this. We see it in, like Dion was saying, in the Spice Girls. As well, we see it in these manufactured bands that have been created to take our love and to
The
take our
Eagles.
money. Yeah. There's
There's literally another program on Netflix right now called Building the Band,
Yeah,
where
exactly. Exactly. And I think it's really interesting then to look at our K-pop demon band, and see that they are they're saying the quiet part out loud with with the demon boy band here. But the reality is that that is what all K-pop bands are. They are there to take the love, to take the energy, and to take the money of their fans, and they've been created expressly to do that. And so I just find that really interesting to have that kind of duality on display where we're saying no, Huntrix are the good guys, when the reality is that all K-pop bands are there to do exactly what the Demon Boy Band are doing.
And that duality is also encompassed in the lead character as well. That there are so many elements of things that she is not comfortable with. There's elements of her public perception that she's not comfortable with. And you kind of like the stories of the three characters, you know, that one of them's the bad girl who doesn't get on with her family. The other one's come from, you know, America and is a rapper, but she's also really sweet. All of these things are prepackaged. They're made to make them a saleable, you know, definable
A
feature.
personality.
Yeah, that people can latch on to. But then you're also watching them going, yeah, and they're really funny and they're really cool and I like them. And you know, they're
Thankfully.
little horn dogs and they eyes turn into popcorn. And
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, you know, they expressed all those lessons, and of course that was the end of it, and this is all we have. And we have this one. Oh no, that's why there's going to be sequels and a TV show and a live stage show, and it's like, oh no, the demons won. Oh no.
That's one thing that I would like to talk about a bit more is like the actual structure of the story. I know we're not going to give anything away, but I was interested that it was a movie and not a TV series because I felt like there could have been a lot more character development actually happened throughout a TV series. I wanted more about the backstory of the girl's mentor. I wanted a little bit more time with the Saja boys in the demon realm in general. Just a little bit more fleshing out of story, I thought would be
Apparently, it
great.
was originally 3 hours long, and I saw someone, I think it might have been Tali in the chat, mentioned that
I'd watch
earlier.
3 hours of
Yeah,
this.
I'm there for it. I'm
I
out.
actually really enjoyed a 90-minute movie, though. We have so many
Yeah.
long-ass films coming out these days,
I
and the
wanted
pacing
more.
in this felt great. I would much rather be left wanting more than be left sitting on my couch scrolling Instagram halfway through because I'm like,
Sure.
this is a dull bit.
This is the song that I'm not into, and that's the reprise of the song I'm not into.
It's the old man song
Oh,
again. Oh,
shit. It's something I did like though, is while I was watching it, I, you know, the first number I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. And then within the first 13 minutes, there were three, you know, musical numbers, completely different songs, like I was watching it and I was like, oh shit, this is a secret musical. Not that secret, but it's a proper musical. And that, I mean, for me, for my taste, that was fucking great, sick, amazing. And like, to your point, Dion, I immediately then go, totally see this as a stage show. And to your point, Beck, oh, or one of you, I'm not sure who was, yes, I could see it working as a series because there's a lot more to explore. And while, Dion, I know that you're like the capitalist pigs, they're just trying to make money out of the kids. Sometimes that's okay because this is a fucking cool story.
Yeah, sure, I mean, if you do, everyone wants our money. It is we live in a society.
Oh, we are in the high points of capitalism, my friends.
Yeah. But I think that there is a way that feels friendly and genuine to do that. And this is hitting that nail for me. And there's a way that feels inauthentic and cash grabby. And that's not this at the moment. We'll see how many spin-offs they try and squeeze out of this and when it tips that line. But I think at the moment it still feels.
And in 15 years, when Netflix rolls back around and makes a live action version of the K-pop Demon Hunters franchise, we'll know.
Not doing it.
Hey, yeah, now. What are you fucking talking about?
They got absolutely fucking pilloried on the internet when the initial run of things that they announced was live action remake, stage show,
Quinny,
and ongoing series. Everyone said, do not fucking do this live action. They went, okay.
Producers don't care. It's just that now there's a lot of complaints. They'll wait till there are less complaints and then they'll do it anyway for a tax break. That's how the system works, Quinny.
You've got another K-pop movie for me?
Exactly. You know, like, stuff will happen that way, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately. Anyway, philosophically.
Well, the sequel's already been greenlit by Netflix, which is unsurprising given that this is apparently in the couple of months that it's been out, or month and a half that it's been out, it has already topped all other animated movies on Netflix for the most watched.
Yeah, and we're a good time behind, as we have already explained. Yeah. Like, in terms of the pickup of this, is it came out in June, you know, and it's now, fuck me, August.
Yeah. That's the official date, by the way.
It is now, fuck me.
Yeah. Every time I look at the calendar these days, I'm like, fuck. Anyway.
Jill, I want to know, on your new rating system,
how many tits
have you got left after this?
I think it's a good 2 tits off.
Ah, yeah. No tits left.
Yeah, it blew my tits off. I enjoyed it.
Jill is untitted.
A lot more than I was expecting too, because like, I know Quinny loves animation, and so his glowing review was like, oh well, it's got to be good. And then also, my friend who loves K-pop and animation as well, and even her husband who enjoys animation, like both raved about it. So I'm like, okay, well, this has got to be good. That kind of got me in to watch it. But it's so strange that, like, I then convinced my other friend group to watch it, and they were all like, oh, this is very kiddie. And everybody else thought it was quite junior, but I didn't really get that read.
No.
They were like, oh, it seems like a bit of a teen bop kind of thing. And I'm like, well, I am 15 years old, you guys. Like, that's why I like it.
I think this is very Shrek adjacent in that it fits the kid movie category, also, if you want to put it there.
There's also stuff for the hornbag older women. Like,
is that what not you see Shrek as?
Yes. Shrek can get it. Can get it. I mean, sorry, before we go into the ratings, which we should do soon to try and keep
we need
time.
To talk about so many more things.
Yeah, there are many things to talk about. Although, Quinny, you did raise a point to me the other day talking about K-pop Demon Hunters, which is going, yes, it's an interesting comparison, film to Perfect Blue, which we talked about recently too. And I was like, you may
maybe
have a point there.
Maybe not a companion piece.
I don't know. I think they're a fantastic companion piece to watch one after the other and just...
thematically, it's somewhat similar, you know, in certain ways, not the same way. Like, let's no, they're
one's a very dark and twisted version.
Exactly, but they both
one's the demons we met along the way.
But they both talk about fandoms. They both talk about some of the crushing nature of conformity and having to represent yourself as something you may not be, sure. And the damage that could do. Let's be honest, yeah, it diverges very, very differently. But there are interesting themes, and it's really interesting to me to think about that film made back in the 90s was like working out these problems then and how far we've come and how we relate to it now, how creatives are relating to that now in this space with, you know, K-pop Demon Hunters is like, yeah, look at all these things that are still pretty much a problem, but we're going to acknowledge that they have been a problem and that, you know, these are the things, but we still keep going because we have good messages that we want to try to put out. And if we can all make some money, that's great. But if we have competition, we will crush it. That's one takeaway I got from like K-pop bands is they crush each other if they can.
Yeah.
In the charts.
Yeah, in the charts. But literally.
I think, you know, differentiates them really very differently is that in Perfect Blue, fandom is seen as being toxic and dangerous and bad. In this one, fandom is the beautiful glowing powerhouse that will save the world. And Dion, your face is telling me that you ain't buying any of this shit.
I don't think that's a
stretch. Haven't we all been in a stadium watching a band that you love and just all singing along at once and just felt that vibe? I mean, it's what gets people into cults. So, you know, it can be used for good or for ill.
I watched, we both watched 11,000 with 11,000 other people. People roll dice.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to the Jared Leto one and that was fine. I'm normal.
It's a powerful thing is what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get you.
And in the chat, a couple of people have mentioned that there's a comparison with the Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Same
animators. My partner's favorite movie of all time.
I still haven't watched it, even though you keep telling me I should. I know. I'll get there. Fuck, I can't.
Fine.
You know, like there's
Come
only
here,
so many.
We will Clockwork Orange you again.
Yeah. <they will. laughs>
Yeah. Time to go to my friend's house and be force watched into something.
That's how I feel about the Drunk DC watches that we've
done. Oh, yeah, we're still going to do that one. I still haven't seen Aquaman 2. Can we bookend it? Which one should go first? Is it?
I didn't even know there was an Aquaman 2.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fucking awful.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, okay, think of your ratings.
And then
yes.
Spoil?
Yeah.
Rate and spoil. Yes, yes.
And if you have seen it in the chat, drop me some numbers so that I can put them into the thing. I love keeping an eye out for them.
I'll start because get me out of the way. Why not rip the band-aid off? I had a fun time because it was quite poppy and exciting, and the animation is actually quite flawless. I like that the characters all had a bit of humanity in them. They weren't that way. Kind of everyone kind of worked. There's definitely a saleable, marketable thing going because that blue cat is. Why is that not a plush already?
I'm going to tell you about the blue
Derpy
cat.
Is his name.
Derpy is great. Derpy. Yeah. Okay. All of that. Like, it's good. I can see the bit of the franchise there, and I can also see me having to scream when I hear the song again after the
five.
Yeah. 100% not for me, but I will give it 75.
Okay.
Because like I think it's good. Like, if someone said, "Hey, you know, should I watch K-pop Demon Hunters?" I'm like. Yeah, like, you know, I recommend it to people with small kids.
75.
All the way up to people who are 75. Yeah, I will. The whole gamut. You can get something out of it. There is a good message in there. And I think it's quite a little hidden gem or unreleased gem, even if you don't particularly like K-pop.
Fair. Jill, go.
Yeah, sorry. Look, I'm so excited to say that I have no tits after this film. It's been off. A while. It's been a while, but I am going to give it a 90.
It's
been a while since we've hit the nines for me. But I love the animation. There were just some moments where I was like, what am I watching? Like, this is just like the textures and everything were so fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I'm like, Christ, that looks almost realistic. Mm-hmm. Loved how everybody had a personality. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like different, had their quirks, had their faults, like had their beautiful moments. The only reason why it's not getting more is because there were just some like small unresolved story things that I wish had been explored a little bit more. But other than that, loved it.
Beck, do you want to drop a number?
94.
Ooh.
Nice.
I'm a harsh marker, but what can I say? It's interesting that you mentioned the animation, Jill, because one of the beautiful things that I've learnt is that the Huntrix characters, our protagonists, are animated in a very traditional way, which means that every second frame they move, whereas our demon boy band are animated differently, where they move every single frame. And there are certain times where it's poignant in the movie where they switch.
Oh.
And so there's lots of super cool things that happen behind the scenes that we don't consciously recognize, but it's doing stuff to our brains. And I think it's really, really cool. So, yeah, I think the more that I learn about this movie and the work that's gone in behind the scenes, the more I love it. And that's why it's really reaching those top numbers.
You've got to respect a bit of filmmaking.
Yeah.
A bit of craft work in there.
Exactly.
And that's very much like the first Spider-Verse, where like they were animating different characters on different frame rates, and you know the attention to detail. And one of the things that gets me about this is the absolute love for Korean culture, but also Korean mythology. And it's also going to be very, very interesting down the track seeing people cosplay from it, because already there have been people who have gone to do cosplays of the Saja Boys and so forth, and have had to that question of appropriation or appreciation is very difficult around certain parts of costumes, because the hats are an actual part of a very specific part of Korean culture that you really can't fuck with. So like
historical Korean culture, not even current really Korean culture as far as I'm aware as well.
Whipping one up out of Warbler is kind of not cool, not kosher. And that kind of
Derpy is my next cosplay.
Oh, just fuck yeah. Yeah. And when we come back from the clip and everything, I will talk about Derpy, because that's another piece of amazing Korean history and culture right there. My rating is 95. I fucking watched the shit out of it and loved the shit out of it. The music aspect of it, I'm not a big K-pop fan or anything like that. I don't listen to a lot of that music, but I didn't care because it was super catchy. The vocals were insane. I love that mix of like the three different voices and the three different styles of the girls, like that, you know, one will drop into really American style rap, but they're all capable of rapping. They'll all take, you know, high parts, low parts, but at the same time, then mix it with a bunch of really cool choreography and martial arts, mix in some extra mythology, add some cute characters. I love the fact that, you know, secondary characters are given a bit of love too. Like the band's manager is not a dickhead. You know, how fucking lovely is it that, you know, you're not just going, yeah, the traditional dickhead band manager. No, he fucking loves them.
Did you not learn anything from Josie and the Pussycats? What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, as I was watching, I just kept thinking, oh my God, this is a thing for a generation of girls to watch and relate to and want to be and emulate. And I suddenly understood that whole thing that all the girls in primary school would go off and learn dances. And then to tie that whole thing that you know, people want to do of singing and dancing with like spiritual power and empowerment and protectiveness. And I was just like, oh, fuck me. So yeah, I got a lot of love for it. I really don't have much bad to say about it, which is I mean, I don't want to give it 100 because that would be ridiculous, but fuck, I really enjoyed it.
You can give it 100.
And that's just the surface story.
I know. We haven't even talked about what it all means.
Can't wait for you to review the stage musical. 350,000.
Review
out of
it.
One.
I'm going to direct the fucking
thing. Which clip would you like to go? Would you like to meet the Sarge Boys? Or, yeah. How about that one? We see who are we talking about here? Sure. Who are the Sarge Boys?
Fans! We can't let them see us here! Get my phone! Let's bring us down!
Okay, cool. Look normal.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Take your time. When did you condemn about me? No, no, no.
Oh, hot. Mom.
Ugh, you guys are so gross.
너와 함께 하고 싶은 일들을 상상하는 게 요즘 내 일상이 되고 너의 즐거워하는 모습을 보고 있으면 자연스레 따라 웃고 있는 걸 너의 행동에 설레어 하고 뒤척이다가 지새운 밤이 많아지는데 이건
That is just harsh. No helping hand there whatsoever. So the Sarge Boys are a bit of a dick. Really, aren't they? They're
yeah,
just
but they're
dicks.
Hot.
Hot dicks.
They're hot.
Hot dicks?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
I've got to tell you, like, we went to Smash, what was it, like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The artist alley was chock-a-block full of K-pop Demon Hunters art. Mm-hmm. Anything Surprise. With right. that tiger on it was sold out.
Oh, yeah, right. My God.
There were there's a scene in the film where the both of the bands, Huntrix and the Sarge Boys, are doing a meet and greet with fans. And Abby, the gentleman with the abs, instead of signing a piece of paper with his name, he runs a like pencil against a piece of paper on his abs, and that's his signature. There were drawings of that in the artist alley for sale. This is the insanity of this movie.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, question here, and I don't understand why. Like, I have questions now. The spoiler logo is up, okay. And we'll talk about spoilery things if you like. Yeah, it's been a month. It's been out for a fucking long time. I get Derpy, the thing. But what was with the strange Game of Thrones crossover with the three-eyed raven?
Do you want
it's not a Game of Thrones crossover, Dion.
Everything's a Game of Thrones crossover.
Beck, do you want to
take Quinny, no, Quinny, you take this. You were so keen.
No, I was so keen, but I mean, I'm guessing we've probably watched the same explainer videos and stuff.
No, I read. I don't watch.
Oh, God. Jesus. Well, you actually...
She's an intellectual queen.
Exactly. Where's my glasses?
Sorry. I just need to take these things off and become Derpy the fuck.
Yeah. Well,
stick your tongue out.
You're on new media now, not any of this traditional lo-fi media that you may try.
Yeah. So, okay. It's not a raven. It's a magpie. And in Korean culture, this is a historical joke. So the tiger and the magpie is the punchline of a historical joke that tigers were traditionally shown as being the representative of the upper class and of rich culture, and specifically the governing class. And the magpie was the symbol of the lower class, the worker class, whatever. And the hat, which I've got to remember the name of, thank you. If somebody wants to look it up for me, that'd be great. The hat is essentially a symbol of power. And so there's a joke, or there's a moment in there where...
it's called a gat. It's called a gat.
Gat.
Yeah. Yeah, so Genu said he made it for the tiger.
So yeah, that's the joke, is that it's a symbol of power that was meant for the tiger, but the magpie keeps stealing it. And so it's a symbol that the lower class will always get one up on the upper class because the upper class are fucking stupid. That's why he's derpy. And you'll see in a lot of Korean art, tigers are always drawn slightly cross-eyed or just a little bit dumb looking. And it's because essentially they're just going, upper class is stupid. Look at the smart magpie with three eyes who can see everything.
So this is exactly like Parasite.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Just that character representation of the blue cat and the magpie is just Parasite as a metaphor.
And it makes that sequence where Derpy comes out, knocks over the plant, and then just can't get it to stand up.
Yes, it's so
cute. Way too long. You're like, oh, you stupid.
But it's good to know, you know, like, I like those little trivia bits. It's fun. It's fun to learn.
I feel like I was so impressed that for the first time, I think ever, a Netflix trailer managed to intrigue and make me want to watch more and actually get me invested in the story without giving away the actual plot. There is a very surface level plot being shown out there, and I think now that people are, you know, watching more of the clips on TikTok and Instagram and that sort of thing, and watching even the Golden video clip, you might get spoiled before watching the movie if you've seen all of that. But for me, my first tit popped off in the opening. I have lost the second tit for me when the pattern reveal happened in Golden. It is very rare that any movie, a movie directed for adults with high levels of intelligence, they rarely get me with the, whoa, what happened there? Wasn't seeing that coming. This movie did that. I gasped at that reveal. There was nothing in me that thought that that was coming. And that is so rare these days. I am so impressed that this movie called K-pop Demon Hunters and so kind of surface level, you know, just fun on top, managed to have this flip. It had this beautiful level of depth to it. I just really loved that so much. I would have enjoyed, I think, a movie where it was just a, you know, magical girl band fighting demons. I would have enjoyed that anyway, but this went a step further.
So when we're talking about the patterns and we're talking about that reveal and that question about Rumi, what are the different, like, I think there are so many different layers of what it could mean. And I think one of the things that's really smart about the film is that it doesn't specifically say it means any one thing. But what did you guys...
They're waiting for the sequel or the spin-offs or...
So we've got to get the story that gives you the backstory about, like, who Rumi's father was and what happened to her mother and the what were they called? The Sunshine Sisters or whatever the band was. And then we also need to have Jinu come back because that was unfair how he went out. I know it was a beautiful sacrifice, but no, I want Jinu back.
He's now in the blade, though. If you watch the sequence, you can see his spirit get pulled into the blade, which is an actual thing in Korean mythology. Spirit blades, I believe. I'm not Korean. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I love me a sexy anthropomorphized spirit coming out of a sword. So,
and then the blade changes once his spirit is absorbed into it. So you can see the two different forms of the blade. So
I need
very,
to fucking watch
cool.
this movie again, don't I?
Yeah.
Let's go right now.
That's it. We're doing a watch along right now.
So Dion, what was your, you had some different takes on what some of that meaning may have been.
Which, what do you mean? The meaning of which? The whole thing?
Of the patterns.
There's a lot
going on.
Was there? Did I say something that I've undoubtedly forgotten since yesterday?
Yeah, well, quite possibly. So, I mean, there's that whole thing of, like, being, you know, intergenerational trauma. Like, this is the Korean trauma of what their history is, the split of the country, North and South Korea, which you can read into that. You could also read into it an LGBT thing of this thing that you have to keep hidden about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not she's allowed to be, especially in K-pop, the idea that is she allowed to be who she actually is, because that is not appropriate. Like that whole thing of you wearing marks on yourself that you have to keep hidden, I think has a lot of meaning for a lot of different people for probably a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would agree. I would hesitate to say that this is implying that Rumi is LGBTQIA plus at all. But I 100% think that people who are LGBTQIA plus could find a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like that X-Men kind of thing. It's like, no, we're not saying that these characters are gay or whatever, but they are a fantastic.
Except the ones that are.
Yeah. And that's some of my best X-Men are gay. But
I think it's really interesting. We're seeing a lot of this storyline coming out in a lot of Asian and Asian American stories over the last decade, especially. I've noticed a real through line in a lot of the media that I've seen, at least, where these cultures seem to be very much from an outsider perspective, very much about conforming and not rocking the boat and being part of a whole community that works well together because everyone kind of assimilates and doesn't step outside of the mold or make anyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, homogenous. And
I think, yeah, exactly. I think that there is a lot of media coming out these days. And it's interesting, Jill, that you mentioned Everything Everywhere All at Once earlier, because that's definitely part of the story behind that movie, and a real message in that movie is that we need to allow the newer generations to be a little bit more unique and individual and celebrate that as something that is wonderful and adds color to our cultures and our societies, rather than being something that we should squash or avoid. And to me, that's what the patterns were, and that's what, you know, was a real underlying message behind this story, is it's not about conforming, it's about celebrating what's unique and individual about each of us.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I did just check, and the reason I brought it up is because the writer did say that the intent was that it was a bit like coming out to your parents.
Oh.
So it was a very deliberate piece to say, hey, it's like that. She's not saying that Rumi is queer, you know.
Also coming out to your friends.
It could be. You go off in your head cannons out there.
Yeah. I mean, also coming out to your friends who have literally been trained to murder you.
Your partner.
For the whole thing. like, I like the little bit of the sort of Buffy the Vampire Slayer chosen ones. You know, how do we do this? We just kind of go and kill these faceless demons, of which there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them, apart from the very special one.
Yeah.
That, very beautiful. Wait. Yes. So, you know, I got that sort of storyline.
Although I do think that there is a I mean, obviously we see Jinu's progression, where he was genuinely villainous. He was a dick.
Sure.
Wow. What a dick. We learned.
What is it again with absolutely ancient men and young women?
Him being like, can you, I just want to be rich and wealthy at the expense of my family. What a fucking nightmare, human. But then obviously evolves and becomes someone who we can genuinely sympathize with, I think. But I feel like we also, especially in that scene, I think, Jill, you mentioned the signing scene.
Yeah.
We see a lot of the other members of the demon boy band, of the Saja boys, have a little bit more personality and a little bit more empathy, I think, than I was expecting. And I would be interested to see that explored a bit more as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. One thing I do love is also the historical mythological context of it too, that the idea of the singing priestess is quite a long history in Korean culture. So the Mu or Mudang not Mudang, are an offshoot of Korean shamanism, who their whole thing was, you know, singing to keep their people safe and, you know, reach out and bridge the world between gods and humans and so forth. And you see that at the very start, like there's the flashback to the original ones. They're all traditional, like priestess outfits. But then the fact that they're, you know, really latching into the Korean singing group thing, you know, that there was another group in the 50s and 60s called the Kim Sisters, who group of three, well known all around the world, appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show and did like 22 shows over the years on Ed Sullivan, like that kind of thing of going, yes, we're going to do it. I love the idea that we could have, you know, stories told in different time frames.
Yeah. And before the Kim Sisters, there was the Jeogori Sisters, I think it's pronounced, and they were also a three-piece girl band, who we assume is kind of being referenced in that introduction.
Can we just make sure that we, even if we go across different time periods, they still kill demons, right?
Yes.
Like, yes. Yeah. 100%.
As long as there's still some demon hunting and killing going on in there, I'm fine. I'm on board with
100%.
It.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I also need to mention, I'm sure many of us already know this, but Saja, as the name of the Saja boys, also has multiple meanings. It means lion, but it is also a kind of slang term for the Grim Reaper. So there's that duality there.
And also so dark and mysterious.
That's why they have the lion like logo. That's what they're saying. That's the loud part. They're like, we're the lion boys, essentially. But it's also, slang for the Grim Reaper in South Korea.
Cool. And I don't think I would have understood or appreciated this film if I hadn't, for the past couple of years, had an awful lot to do with idol culture. I've learned a lot in the past few years of working for idol festivals and, you know, the whole idol scene. And something that I find fascinating is really like key to the film, but it's sort of, unless you've seen the crowds doing their thing in person, the relationship between crowd and band is incredibly intense. Like, and the crowds at these events are not just, you know, observers. They're part of the show and they see their role really importantly. You know, all of the glowing sticks that they're holding up, all of the colors that they choose to wear, the fact that they, you know, stan a particular singer or whatever and will then change
their bias.
Yeah. You know, they will do all of these things, and like you see them during songs. Like, I watched them at Smash. There's the people climbing up on each other's shoulders just so that they can performatively go, you know, I'm not actually singing at you, I'm just showing you how much I appreciate what you're doing. Is like, if you don't know about it, you're gonna think it's fucking weird as shit, which I did for a while. But then when you see it, you go, oh, okay, I get it. And now I watch this film and you realize why so much time is spent with the fandom as well. Mm. Like they spend a lot of time, you know, looking at the kinds of fans who have latched on to these people. Is it the sex-starved older ladies? Is it the preteen girls who are just utterly, you know, smitten? Is it the big buffy guys who will cry at the drop of a hat, you know? Yeah. All of that.
I think it's interesting, though, to suggest that it's just a K-pop thing or a J-pop thing or something like that, where you have these biases. When you think about, you know, KISS, people would wear their specific band members' makeup style to go to a KISS concert. It's a similar
it's just
idea.
It's all about finding community in the things that you love.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's also, like, I remember I wanted to write a fucking paper on this at one point. It's the concept of avatarism, that you wear the thing that you want to take on the feeling of, you know. So,
dude, I've done it for 20 years. Cosplay.
Hello, cosplay. Yeah,
and cosplay is like the doing it out loud and doing it the biggest possible way. But for other people, it's that whole thing of wearing your favorite band T-shirt,
yeah,
or wearing a Superman T-shirt, or wearing, you know, something. It's that thing of, this gives me all these feelings, and I want to then wear it so that I can try and, you know.
Yeah. Now name 5 of their songs.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
And when you bring that all together, it really is powerful. And I think that that's what they're tapping into on both sides here, where, you know, that it can be used for good or for evil.
Yeah. And the idea that a golden whole moon only comes when, like, everybody's actually being true about who they are, you know. That's it's a pretty powerful fucking feeling. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Speaking of powerful feelings, what are we doing for the rest of the month?
I don't know.
You don't know. Even
I
though
have
you
it
do
here in front of me somewhere.
You know exactly what it is. We've got a few things. There's a lot going on in the month of the merry, merry month of August. we've got lots of movies that are out there. There's things like Nobody 2. And one that we're going to see tomorrow night, which is Weapons.
Yeah. Give me the weapon.
Yeah, okay.
I saw an ad for Weapon the other night, which just said 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was a print ad, and I was like, that's a strong choice.
Yeah, look, I mean,
from the team that brought us Barbarian, we fucking loved Barbarian.
Yeah, that was one that came out of left field. Which was like, we're going to watch a movie called Barbarian. Okay, we'll see what this is like. Yeah, holy fucking shit, that's fucking great. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, Zach Krieger's Weapon. So interesting. We'll see how that goes. And then the rest of the month, we are going to have a look at the television that's coming out. So we've got, what is it, Twisted Metal?
We did a lot
Metal.
Of movies the last couple of months.
We did.
Time to move back to the TV.
Twisted Metal Season 2, Chief of War Season 1. You know, I don't know about how to trying to convince everyone to go back to seeing another Jason Momoa.
I literally said to him in the office the other day, I was like, is this just another season of C? And he couldn't answer.
I didn't answer him. Decided to not keep that one there. Also, we're going to see Alien Earth finally comes out this month. Yeah. And Peacemaker Season 2 is coming out.
Which I'm down for.
Any of that, Beck, make you totally excited for this month of August? No?
My tits have just been put back on.
Oh, they're all back on now.
Also, I have reattached the tits.
Also, we're going to try and get out and see the next Naked Gun film.
Yeah, which has been getting fucking rave reviews.
Look, I mean, all I got to say is I did go back and watch Naked Gun 1, 2.5, and 33 and a third. And let me say, some of that is just choice comedy, and then other stuff should be buried and thrown into a fire. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a dichotomy. It's a different time. But, you know,
it's like going back and watching Airplane.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's one of those ones where you're like, oh, that was really funny. Oh shit, that's not cool anymore.
I gotta
but
say,
then again, that's true of most things from the 80s and 70s.
Taken as a whole, there is some actual, like, the greatest thing about the Naked Gun, the Leslie Nielsen ones, the movies, is that Priscilla Presley is a fucking genius. She was a comedy god that we just didn't recognize enough. And go, holy shit, she's the best thing about those ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
And this one's been lovely because Liam Neeson, who is the star of it, his wife died a few years ago, which is very, very sad. But he's found love with Pamela Anderson, who has found her second kind of wind as an actress and now is going, you know what? I don't need to be the person that you all think of when you think of Pamela Anderson. I'm now in my 50s and I can, you know, do whatever the fuck I want. And
I saw The Last Showgirl the other weekend and it was a beautiful movie. I thought she was fantastic in it.
Yeah. You can.
And by all accounts, she's a fucking great comedic actor too. So.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out at the end of this week. And if we find anything more that's sort of K-poppy and fun, we'll definitely let you know. Did you all have fun with it though? Is K-pop Demon Hunters?
What else are you watching? What have you been watching to keep you happy, Beck?
What have I been watching?
Yeah.
My uni assessments.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm a boring intellectual now.
You read.
She reads dissertations.
No, I actually have been having on in the background while I do that a lot of true crime. I've been listening to a podcast called The Casual Criminalist a lot. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. But it's a wonderful gentleman who has incredible writers who do all of this research into a real true crime story and write a script for him. And he just sits there, reads the script out loud for the first time, has no background information or knowledge of this piece of true crime, and inputs his own like thoughts and guesses as to what's about to happen, and just has a bit of a chat about it. And I find it very fun just to listen to in the background while I'm writing about change management in organizational culture.
Oh, God.
Cool.
Oh, Beck, I'm sorry.
That's just fun.
Yeah. Well, I just submitted my final uni assessment, so.
Yeah.
Wait, for
so I'll get back to you in a month with what I've picked up.
Yeah, you should just take up something simple now, like biochemistry. Joy.
I'll get back to that, yeah.
I'll get back to that one.
You become a brain surgeon, then you can just say to everyone, well, it's fine, but it's not exactly brain surgery, is it?
Fucked. Stop with that joke.
Yeah,
I am a rocket scientist.
Oh, dear. Jill, you been watching anything good?
I watched SummerSlam this weekend.
Hey.
Two nights of carnage. Oh my God. Night two, we had a tables, ladders, and chairs match. And holy shit, Home Depot is out of tables because they broke every single one. It was fucking awesome.
Oh dear.
See, someone broke a ladder in half. Like, it was a closed ladder. They went through it. It was awesome.
I love this. I love that, like, you know, there's an alternate universe thing of like K-pop demon hunters. Yeah. World wrestling superheroes.
Oh my God. My guy won the title and then he had it for all of 2 seconds. And then his arch nemesis, who had faked a knee injury, came out, cashed in his like contract to like take a title at any moment and stole it right then and there. I'm like,
I'm just massively concerned.
Brilliant story.
Because I did a Working at Heights qualification last week, and I know that.
OHNS would have been
16% of fatalities happen off. 16% of workplace fatalities, or even just fatalities from a fall at heights, come from just ladders, and it doesn't have to be a very high.
These guys are coming
off
the top of the turnbuckle onto four tables that had been stacked up.
That's just punching the numbers up. I can't watch that.
Yeah. When the commentator says, "I think they may be dead," I live.
How many times did they go through the Spanish announcers table?
Oh.
Because that's the best
about four times, yeah, about yeah. four times, and then once through the American.
How do we pitch the sequel to K-pop Demon Hunters, but include SummerSlam in there?
Yeah,
so it is a weird mash of K-pop and wrestling.
And wrestling, yeah.
I just don't like violence. So I've never, Jill's like, you're a disappointment to me and your family. I can appreciate the drama. I can appreciate the storytelling. I can appreciate that it's all pre-planned. But why do you have to hurt each other? Can't we all just be friends?
Really hurting each other.
They're very talented at making it look like
they just look like they hurt each other.
You can just go watch gymnastics, Beck, if you want to see some.
They get hurt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But like, that's unplanned hurt.
Yeah, my one's all fake hurt.
Not always. There is a casual criminalist about a wrestler who killed people. So, crossover.
Hulk Hogan's gone now. He can't hurt us anymore.
He might have had bad political views, but he wasn't a murderer.
No.
That we know of.
Just a racist piece of shit.
Allegedly.
But
anyway.
There you go. Anything? What have you been watching?
Nothing. I've watched K-pop Demon Hunters. That's it. That's all I have. It's my life.
I feel like you can't watch anything at the moment because you'll just tar it with a sad sack attitude.
Yep, 100%. Everything is trash. Doesn't matter what it is. Just it's all trash. It's all terrible. Life is meaningless. The
let us know when you want to watch Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots.
So good. So good.
It's so good, Dion.
I'll get around to it. Like, it's okay.
You can have a little boys date night.
Do you know what I've been watching that you all don't give a shit about? I've been watching Foundation because I'm an intellectual.
Yeah. You're an old
What's
nerd.
Foundation? Tell me about that,
Dion. It's old man sci-fi.
Isn't that Star Wars?
Fuck off. I'm glad they got rid of Mara Jade. that's a specific attack from Beck.
Oh, damn.
No, old man sci-fi. So Isaac Asimov wrote Foundation, the book series, and then Apple is trying to adapt it into the television series. And, like, it's poncy and fucking high concept and a little bit wankery, but I'm kind of enjoying it, like, now. It's into the third season, so it's fine, you know. I'm watching it. Doing my bits.
Pick that up. I've been waiting. I've been busily trying to get through other things to get through to watching that.
The greatest thing about it is it just has had fuck tons of money punched into it by Apple. So, you know, there is money on the screen. You don't look at it and be like, oh, that was a bit cheap. You're like, oh, fuck. You guys are spending a lot of money. Okay.
The other facet of my personality has been watching The Buccaneers on Apple Plus, and that is, what's it called? Golden Age? What the fuck was that period?
The Gilded Age?
Gilded, thank you. Fuck me. Because it's like
the one
it's
we're having
England, but it's Gilded Age America. But it's like these Gilded Age American girls go to England to find husbands, and it's very trashy, but it's great.
So isn't it written by the Downton Abbey people? Or am I
no idea?
Am I remembering that incorrectly?
I don't know, but some shit went down in this season, and it's great.
I thought we were having a Gilded Age now because there's a $200 million ballroom going into the White House. Right?
Gilded 2.0.
Yeah,
I've been watching an interesting one that I was annoyed to find out is an ongoing series because I thought it was a limited series, and then got to an end of an episode, and I'm like, motherfucker. So it's Smoke on Apple TV. It's the new Taron Egerton thing.
I do like Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
I enjoy him.
I enjoy Taron Egerton too. And in this one, he plays a spectacular cockhead. he is such a dick in it, but it's very entertaining.
I have been bored shitless by it. Up until the last couple of episodes. I'm sorry, I tried. I really did. I've done the whole kind of thing. And I was it was really hard to kind of watch and get through. And then up to the last couple of episodes, I was just like, oh, okay, this is the point. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Taron Egerton playing someone horrible.
Yeah. It's all about arson investigators. And... Great. Is
Taron the arsonist, or
he is the arson investigator,
not the arsonist?
That remains to be seen.
Well, they're investigating his own arson. Like, it's always the volunteer firefighter that's the fucking arsonist.
And Journey Smollett, who we haven't seen since I haven't seen since Lovecraft Country, which was great.
And I hadn't seen since Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey.
Gilded Age is in fact written and created by Julian Fellowes, the same writer and creator of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but my show's not called The Gilded Age. That's a different show.
It's called The Buccaneers.
What? My show's called The Buccaneers, but it's set in the Gilded Age.
Buccaneers.
There is a show called The Gilded Age as well.
That's what you just said.
I thought it was the same thing.
That one's
We're professionals.
We're very good at this. We're so good at this.
There's so much media out there.
There is a fuck ton.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Law and Order SVU.
Dun dun.
Dun 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 dun. Dun dun. It's still going. It's great background music because, not music, obviously. It's great background noise because there's 27 seasons of it and you can just go through it. It's great. Yeah.
And if you feel like really, you know, fucking up your day with that, apparently you can watch the War of the Worlds that came out on
Amazon,
like literally this week, starring Ice Cube from Law and Order or whichever one he's in.
Yeah.
And it's getting 0% on the ratings on Apple.
Really?
Yeah.
The trailer is even terrible. Can you imagine doing a movie, but the movie is about characters interacting with each other through like web chat? It's like this movie is the Zoom meeting.
Wait, is it War of the Worlds like based on the sci-fi?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh.
But it's all
through the lens of somebody who is just looking at the computer screen and
looking
at webcams and security cameras and like FaceTiming their daughter on their phone, and the person in the chair is Ice Cube. And it's apparently there's a sequence where they actually go through purchasing things on Amazon. At one point they give a homeless person an Amazon gift card. It is just like,
it sounds like a commercial.
It is a commercial, but on top
Quinny,
of that,
I'm sorry to let you know, but the main black actor in Law and Order is not Ice Cube, it's Ice-T.
Oh, fuck.
So,
God damn it. Well, if you put Ice Cube in the Ice-T long enough, he's not there.
Hey.
And then it's just all Ice-T.
Does it become Vanilla Ice?
No. Oh.
Stop. Stop. Collaborate.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I'm glad I've had that quick review from you, Quinny, because I was intending to maybe peek
Me
at
too.
That. And now I shan't.
Yeah, it's like astonishingly bad reviews from everybody. And I kind of, currently sitting at 11% on the popcorn meter, but 0% on various others. So,
yeah, okay. Apart from that, like, I might try and go and see the Book of Mormon this time around because I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Maybe.
Because you should go and see it.
Because no one ever took me.
We also have some friends who are working backstage on the production of the Book of Mormon in Sydney. So
if I get around to it, I don't know. But I also want to go and see the Kransky sisters.
I haven't seen those in years.
Yeah, exactly, right? This is the blast from the past. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go to see that.
And Beck, before we wrap it up, we really should wrap it up, your thoughts on the new Spider-Man outfit?
I have no strong thoughts on the new Spider-Man outfit. I'm just wondering where our home went from the titles.
Oh, he's got no home anymore because...
There's no home. Yeah.
Yeah. No spodes. Thanks, everyone, for joining in. Thanks for the chat. And thanks for joining this time, Beck, and giving us your K-pop love.
Thanks for welcoming me back. All of you here
Anytime.
And all of you in the chat, I have missed you.
Anytime.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime you want to.
Not too many people, though. More than like 7 or 8 people is going to be too much. Like, how are like, we'll just
and
be
you
like
told
tiny
me
little...
150. So
yeah, you said
I brought all my friends.
<Yeah. 'Cause
laughs> we're all talking at once. That's what the podcast is now, just noise. Gotta make sure all the AI generated.
Ugh. Let's not do that.
Okay.
All right, then we're going to head off. That's enough. We'll see you next week.
For the
weapon.
That's it. Bye.
That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
For listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.